Welcome to the deep dive. We sift through stacks of sources, reviews, fashion analyses, you name it, to give you those unexpected insights.
The stuff you need to really be informed.
Exactly. And today we're getting into something, well, visually striking. We're looking at the German rock duo, The Original Sin.
Mm.
Their new single is called Kerosene. And what's fascinating is how they're using latex, of all things, as a core part to the storytelling.
Right. And our mission here for you listening is to really go beyond just, you know, looking at the music video. We're digging into a very deliberate narrative choice.
It's not just cool outfits.
Not at all. They've basically mapped out an emotional journey using these clothes. So we're going to analyze how these specific changes, the materials, the colors define stages of transformation. It's like a visual shortcut to the meaning behind it all.
Okay, so the band, they're based in Hamburg. It's Kira Sinister. She's the lead singer and songwriter.
And Michael Albers, he's on guitar, composing, also songwriting.
Right. And Kerosene is from their Rebirth EP, which they actually crowdfunded.
Mm-hmm.
And that title, Rebirth, that feels pretty important here.
Oh, it's crucial. Yeah. The sources we looked at really highlight this. Before this, The Original Sin had a very distinct look, dark, gothic, you know.
Yeah, I remember that aesthetic.
But this Rebirth EP, it signals a real shift visually, thematically. They're actively moving away from that sort of gothic concealment.
Towards something much more exposed. Dramatic.
Exactly. Exposed and dramatic. It's a conscious shakeup.
Okay, so let's ground this first in the song's message before we get to the latex. What's the emotional core? What journey is Kira talking about in Kerosene?
According to her, it's about finding your way again after feeling stuck in life. That's the quote.
Okay, relatable.
Very. She talks about starting from this place of feeling frozen and numb, then moving into what she calls a painful but powerful process of reigniting yourself.
Painful but powerful. Interesting combination.
Yeah, and the goal is to finally burn bright again, that whole arc, from frozen to burning bright.
Wow, okay. That idea itself, numbness to this painful reignition that resonates, doesn't it? It feels universal.
Absolutely.
And that universality is what makes the visual choice so intriguing. They take this common human experience of growth and they decide to, well, visualize it using a material that's, let's be honest, not exactly everyday wear.
Precisely. And they're very upfront about it. They confirm it was totally deliberate. The latex fashion plays, and this is their phrasing, a central role in the storytelling of the video.
So it's not just background dressing.
No way. They state explicitly, each outfit represents a stage of this transformation. So we get three really clear, distinct stages mapped out visually.
Okay, but I have to jump in here. For someone maybe not steeped in like high fashion symbolism, isn't there a danger? Could a choice as visually loud as latex actually overwhelm the music? Mm. Or, you know, the emotional story itself? Mm. Does the spectacle kind of take over?
That's a really fair point. And I think that's where the interesting paradox of latex comes in and maybe why it works so well for this specific story. Latex is inherently restrictive, right? It's tight. It sculpts the body. It holds its form. But for a lot of people who wear it, that physical restriction can translate into a kind of mental empowerment.
Huh. Restriction leading to empowerment. How?
It's this feeling of being fully contained, confident, almost like armor. It mirrors that painful but powerful process Kira mentioned. Like, to burn bright, you need something strong enough to contain that fire first.
I see. So the material itself actually embodies the tension of the transformation she's singing about. Okay, that clicks. All right, so if the song charts this path frozen to burning, let's use the outfits as our map. Stage one, you said stillness, suffocation.
Yeah, stage one is all about that initial state. Emotional concealment, wanting to hide. Visually, Kira's look is designed to be monotone, pale, almost motionless.
What are the specific pieces?
Okay, so she wears a matte TVC hooded cape that's from Artifice Clothing. Cool. Underneath, there's a matching bra from Iowear, and then a silver latex pencil skirt by William Wilde.
Hold on, you said matte PVC for the cape, the main hiding piece, but latex for the skirt. That distinction feels important. Why PVC there? Not shiny latex right away.
It's a critical difference, yeah. PVC, while it looks similar sometimes, is generally stiffer than latex. It's often duller, less reflective. Symbolically, in fashion, PVC can sometimes communicate, like artificiality or confinement.
Okay.
And the matte finish here absorbs light. It makes her look muted, faded, almost like an old photograph that's lost its color. The stiffness, plus that huge hood, it's a literal barrier.
Ah, so it suggests she's stuck
mm-hmm.
in this artificial state, self-conscious, cut off from the world. Visual suffocation, like you said.
Exactly. The stiffness, the light absorption, it perfectly captures that frozen and numb feeling. The hood literally blocks out light, blocks connection.
Right, but the whole point is rebirth, reignition. She can't stay there. So how does she start to break free? What happens in stage two, the move towards movement?
Stage two is that crucial turning point, progress. And like you said, more movement enters the visuals. Kira herself calls this the stage of becoming more comfortable in my own body again.
So what changes? Does she add something?
Actually, the key move is taking something away. The most concealing piece, that matte PVC hooded cape, it's gone.
Okay, so the barrier comes down. What replaces it? Or does anything?
Something does replace it. A short bolero. Also from Artifice Clothing, interestingly.
A bolero.
Okay. All right.
How does that change the feeling?
It's key. A bolero typically frames the shoulders and chest, but leaves the midriff, the back, much more exposed. The sources point out the cut is tighter, showing more visible skin. It signifies an embracing of her own body, moving from hiding it to, well, highlighting its form, its potential strength.
It's like the visual equivalent of taking a proper deep breath, isn't it? You're still contained. The latex skirt is likely still there.
Yeah.
Maybe other tight elements suggesting the struggle, the transformation process isn't over. It's still happening.
Right. The internal work is ongoing.
But the silhouette itself is opening up. That heavy, suffocating top layer is cast off. Movement becomes possible. It's the shift from just being frozen passively to actively starting to move.
Perfectly put. It shows that confidence isn't like flipping a switch. It's gradual. The tightness of the underlying latex, maybe the skirt, represents that ongoing commitment to the painful part of the process. But the shape of the overall outfit signals this internal liberation starting.
That sets us up perfectly for the final act, then. If stage two was about starting to move, stage three has got to be hitting full stride. The fire, the blossoming you mentioned. What's the look for the climax?
Right. This is where she needs to embody that strength, that intensity to burn bright again. And the look becomes what Kira describes as a confident femme fatale.
Femme fatale. Okay. Uh-huh. What does that translate to in terms of clothes?
Gone are the pale colors, the matte finishes. She's now in a deep, shiny black latex dress. This one's from William Wild. And she adds long matching latex gloves from Westward Bound.
Shiny black. Okay, how does that specific combination, shiny and black, represent burning bright, especially compared to the pale matte start? It seems counterintuitive, black representing light.
It's about flipping the visual language entirely. Black communicates intensity, power, maybe even danger in a femme fatale context. But it's the high gloss shine of the latex that becomes the visual cue for fire and light.
Ah, the reflection.
Exactly. Glossy latex doesn't absorb light like the matte PVC did. It reflects it sharply. So in those scenes where the camera is revolving around her, every little movement catches the light. It creates flashes, highlights. It makes her look kinetic, dynamic, intense.
Almost volatile.
Yeah, volatile is a good word. It's the visual opposite of the muted start. It's high definition confidence. Saturated. Bright in its own way.
Wow. The progression is incredibly clear when you break it down like that. It's a whole narrative arc told just through material science and silhouette choices. Pale, matte, concealing PVC, gives way to tight but opening forms, and then finally to this deep, reflective, powerful latex.
It's really quite masterful. And we should also mention the stylistic consistency. Elizanth Photography handled the styling and makeup across all three stages.
Ah, so it feels like one person's evolution.
Precisely. Even as the materials and colors make these dramatic shifts, the overall aesthetic holds together. It reinforces that it's one continuous transformation, not just three different looks.
Now, if we pull back a bit, you mentioned the sources for this analysis, places like Latex 247. They often talk about latex specifically for this kind of transformative, empowering quality, right?
They do, frequently. It's a recurring theme. And it feels like the original Sin haven't just, you know, jumped on a trend. They've really conceptualized and embraced this approach, as one source put it. They've used the inherent symbolism of the material as their main narrative tool.
And what elevates it, I think, is the personal connection. You mentioned Kira Sinister's comments.
Yeah, that's really key to its authenticity. She stressed that the outfits are an integral part of the story, which reinforces the conceptual side. But then she added this personal note. I just love the feeling of wearing latex in unique pieces like the bolero.
That makes it feel less like just a costume, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It bridges the gap. It works as this like objective narrative device for us, the audience, to read the story. But it's also clearly a source of genuine subjective confidence for her, the performer. The material literally helps her embody the transformation she's singing about.
That duality is really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It validates the idea that the material itself can shift a mindset.
Exactly. And this idea, this belief in the material's power to signal something big, we're seeing it elsewhere too, right? The sources mention other celebrities using latex quite deliberately right now.
Yeah, it does seem to be having a moment. Kylie Jenner in Dead Lotus Couture was mentioned.
Mm-hmm. And TikTok star GK Barry adopting that whole Barbiecore pink latex look for her tour.
Right. And Jess Glynn wearing latex and leather pieces from Eric Ashney. How do those examples connect back to the original Sin's Rebirth narrative specifically? Are they doing the same thing?
Well, they connect because the public use of latex, especially by celebrities, is almost always tied to moments of high-stakes visual statements, reinvention, empowerment, drama.
Okay.
So for someone like GK Barry on tour, pink latex isn't subtle, is it? It screams high energy, confidence, maybe being unapologetically bold. It's a visual choice that says, look at me.
Right. A rejection of playing it safe.
Definitely. And for an artist like Jess Glynn, mixing it with leather, it often signals a powerful comeback or a new, stronger aesthetic. It's the kind of material you choose when you need the audience to understand instantly that you're in control, that you've changed, that you demand attention.
So whether it's a massive pop star or this German rock duo, the material acts as this kind of high visibility shortcut, an instant statement of empowerment and intentional change.
It really does. It cuts through the noise.
So pulling this all together for you, the listener,
yeah.
What this deep dive really shows is how incredibly effective fashion can be, not just as decoration, but as a detailed nonverbal roadmap for a whole emotional journey.
Yeah, we've basically watched the protagonist move from being suppressed, hidden in that colorless matte material.
Right, the PVC cape.
All the way to the state of empowerment, this fire embodied in the shiny black latex, all within, what, a few minutes of a music video. The clothes aren't just accompanying the transformation.
They are the transformation.
Exactly. They embody it.
It's a brilliant way to look at visual storytelling in any art form, really.
Yeah.
So thinking about what this means for you, if clothes can define such a complete, powerful transformation so explicitly in just 4 minutes, well, it makes you wonder about the narrative power of her own everyday choices, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It prompts that question. What story is your outfit telling today? Is it acting like that pale, restrictive cape? Maybe consciously, maybe unconsciously, just sort of hiding you.
Or have you maybe chosen something closer to that shiny black silhouette? Something that reflects confidence, that allows you, you know, to catch the light?
The clothes are telling a story, whether we consciously script it or not.
Something to think about.
Yeah.
We definitely encourage you to maybe start looking at your own wardrobe through that kind of narrative lens. What story are you telling?
A great thought to mull over.
Until our next deep dive.